right now. Nowhere to Run To by Martha and the Vandellas. Yes! Hey, you know what I mean.
Too much?
Welcome to Voices Carry Live. My name is Randy Scott. Welcome to the Village of Carry. This is an independent podcast. This is not sanctioned or approved by a municipality. It's just a independent podcast from myself to try to bridge the gap between social media and talking with your neighbor. Also, all too often, I see online there's just like pot shots, like, you know, just like pot shot meaning just like here, I'm going to type in something on the keyboard and then leave. I try to provide more context. I try to provide more behind the scenes stuff to where we can understand stuff together. We learn stuff together. If there's like yesterday on the podcast that was Village Board Party, the Village Board Watch Party, that we'll watch the Village Board meetings and we'll go through the supporting documents. And it's kind of a nice feeling to have a to go to bed at night knowing that you're more involved with your own community. All too often, like I see, even myself, it falls victim to this. Like national politics is designed to be entertaining, and if we can just take 1% from the time that we devote to Netflix, sports, or professional like sports watching and national politics, and just allocate that to local politics, not even local politics, just what's going on in your neighborhood. I'm not really a big fan of the word politics, but this local events, what affects your community? And that's exactly what, like we did yesterday, like the last few shows we looked at the village, went on a family vacation to Sauk County, Wisconsin, which is home to Baraboo, city of Baraboo. And I was like, I feel it's a different feeling here. It's like there's water parks everywhere. It's like the village code has to be, 2,000 pages long. This is the city of Baraboo. This is the size of the city of Baraboo's village code that is in Wisconsin Dells. And then this is the size of our village code. So you can make of that what you want. And it's our job to navigate it and kind of make the determination to be like, are we kind of suffocating ourselves, or is it something else going on, or that's what we're here to look at. And I try to make it as entertaining as possible to where it's not just regurgitation of stuff, because then you could just essentially just go and read the documents yourself, and that's what we all don't do. So I try to, in the little time I have having a family, I try to condense it and just see what's coming in to the village. I go through like X, Facebook. First of all, happy Wednesday. We broadcast. Our transmission is on X, Rumble, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and then RSS feed for all your podcast audio only that do not wish to see my face for radio every day, which it's an ever-growing list, and I completely agree with you. A lot of people listen to voice only on their way to work on the train, so have a great day at work if you're one of those folks, and thank you for listening to all of you. When I go to put the show together, I have a workflow of like things I look at and try to optimize it to where it doesn't take an insane amount of time, but I get the most value for you out of it. I came across this. The Village of Lake in the Hills put out, it says here, help shape the future of community development in McHenry County. The 25 and through 29 consolidated plan determines how federal funding is used for community improvements, affordable housing, and local services. I originally just perused by this, and let me tell you, if you are watching live, I do monitor multi-stream chats. If you have any questions, comments, or requests, put those in. That's currently what I'm pulling in is Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube. And then I think the Twitter X is more of a comment thing. I can't really respond to that live. But I originally just blew by this, and then I went back to it because it wasn't just for Lake in the Hills. It said McHenry County. And then there was a few other things that got me interested. So I went to the website, and I thought we'd go through it together, the survey. Just so we can, and obviously I have some supporting documents. We'll burn through these. I don't put my personal spin on anything. This is literally documents that I have what I found in my way of researching through all this, and I just want to bring it to you. So browser, consolidated plan community member survey, McHenry County HUD consolidated plan survey. The McHenry County Community Development Division is in the process of preparing the county's consolidated plan for housing and community development for the upcoming 5 years, 25 through 29. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, requires this plan in order for the county to receive funding for the community development block grant. There's two acronyms there. And we're going to go back and take a look at what I did was I went to X, formerly Twitter, and they have a tool to where you can ask a question. And what I did was literally, you can see on here, what I did, I just typed in, what are the pros and cons with the McHenry County HUD consolidated plan? What are the pros and cons of U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development? what are the pros and cons of U.S. Housing and Community Development Act of 1974? What are the pros and cons of community development block grant? And then just to for further understanding of like what is coming in, or what is this McHenry County plan looking at? And to give a better context of it, let's see what questions are asked. It says, the plan will describe the county's housing and community development needs, strategies, and priorities. The plan affects many communities and organizations across the county, and input from regional agencies, organizations, and local governments is vital to identifying the needs and allocating resources. Community development and homelessness needs. This will be used in the planning for related aspects of the larger consolidated plan. It should take less than 15 minutes. Says you are welcome to skip. What city do you currently reside in? What is your role in the community? Has resident, business owner, community planning. Community development needs. What needs exist in your community or in the communities within the region you represent or serve? Which of these do you consider to be the most critical? Your responses to this section will help identify priorities for the community development block grant program and home investment partnerships. And usually you can get I look at the survey of like, okay, what questions are they asking? Are there any, is there any information to where we can see where, what the grants are about through the survey and the questions and the responses that they give you? Public infrastructure, water, sewer, drainage. Is water quality or capacity an issue in your community? Yes, no, unsure. How common are failing septic tanks, line breakages, outages, quality issues in the community or region? And that gives you rare through very common. Is drainage adequate to avoid standing water or flooding in residential and commercial areas? Other public infrastructure and facilities. Please rate the general condition of streets and roads in the community or region. Downtown commercial roads, neighborhood streets. And that gives you excellent through very poor. Is there a need for public improvements to downtown commercial areas in the town or towns throughout the county? Gives you tremendous need through no need, with streets, parking, sidewalks, street lighting, ADA accessibility, green spaces, parks, public space enhancement, public safety, call boxes, cameras, lighting, call boxes. They used to have call boxes at the on streets where you would call for like a fire or police response. Other public infrastructure might be call boxes for like in parking lots, like in hospitals and stuff, where they talk about that. Or you see them in some public areas as well, like parks. Public infrastructure and facilities, overall need. Please rate the need for improvements in your community or the county. Water and sewer, it gives you through tremendous need through unknown. Street improvements, stormwater drainage, broadband internet, clearance of dilapidated buildings, libraries, community centers and training facilities, fire stations and trucks, public health and safety, transportation-oriented facilities, downtown commercial revitalization, neighborhood revitalization, green spaces, and parks. Economic opportunity, how attractive is your community or communities within the region for new businesses? Not at all very attractive. 10, do residents of the community or within the region have convenient access to basic goods and services? No through yes. That should be probably no or yes. Or it might be just a scale. Please check any of the following that you feel limit economic opportunity in the town or region, especially for lower or moderate income persons. limited employment opportunities for lower and moderate wage workers. Existing employers are scaling back or laying off versus growing. Local workforce skills are inadequate. Job training is not available or inadequate. Limited or no commercial industrial building sites. Potential employers need public infrastructure that is not available or inadequate. No or limited internet. Transportation of goods and services is a problem. Transportation is inadequate to link workers, jobs, and services. Condition of downtown commercial areas make the area unattractive to new business. Roads and streets cannot accommodate business or industrial traffic. Condition of residential areas nearby business industry deters new business or other. A community resident needs assessment. In the past 12 months, what is the single greatest challenge you and your household have experienced? Housing, childcare, employment, health, legal issues, education, parenting, child development, food, nutrition, financial issues, transportation, basic needs such as clothing, shoes, diapers. Returning citizens recently incarcerated have not had any challenges. Other, please specify. And then 13, are there any problems or needs that you or your family are faced with in the past year that you could not get help with? How do you find out about various programs and services available? What things about your neighborhood do you really like? What is one thing that you would like to see improved in your neighborhood? 17 community conditions. Make the number from 1 to 5 to indicate your if you disagree or agree with the following statements. There are sufficient full-time quality living wage job opportunities available in the community. The schools in the community meet the educational needs of the children they serve. This gives you strongly agree through strongly disagree. There are sufficient child care programs with traditional hours. There are sufficient child care programs with non-traditional hours. There are sufficient preschool programs, including Head Start, available for low-income families in the community. There are sufficient affordable child youth activities or after-school programs. The housing stock in the community is generally safe and well-maintained. There is sufficient affordable housing available for low-income people in the community. There are sufficient emergency shelters available in the community. There are sufficient medical services available for low-income people in the community. Sufficient dental services. Sufficient resources for emergency food and food assistance. Sufficient non-medical emergency services. Public transportation. And then there are sufficient resources for immigrants in your community. 18, which of the following areas do you believe low-income families and individuals need help with in order to achieve or maintain self-sufficiency? Check all that apply. Bill utility payment, child care, dental care, domestic and family violence, employment, job opportunity, availability, family support, financial literacy, budgeting, food resources, fraud and identity protection, health care, housing, homelessness, immigrant family support, internet web access, job training, language barriers, ESL, legal services, literacy, basic education, mental health services, substance abuse treatment, technology, digital literacy, transportation, women's reproductive health, or other. And then 19, are there any other issues and or needs in the community that you would like to share? So I enjoy bringing this to this platform because a lot of folks, this could not only provide you with the ability to sound off on something that you saw on what I just read through on that survey, which is, I'll put a link to it in the description of this video and all the platforms, but it also, if there are folks in need, and they see this, broadcast, they will be like, I never knew that there was a resource for that. So that's one of the reasons why I enjoy bringing this to you, as well as seeing, the questions that they ask, because usually you can tell where they're focused on by the questions that they ask. And then I also, if you went through, if you remember at the top of this, it mentions U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development and then the Community Development Block Grant. I have a few. I literally just went in and I said, what are the pros and cons with these? And my printer did, the links didn't come through very well. But I will go through these. Maybe not verbatim, but you'll have the source for that. So I went in, this is from X on their search tool. What are the pros and cons with the McHenry County HUD consolidation plan? I'll read this. The McHenry County HUD consolidated plan is a strategic document aimed at addressing housing and community development needs within McHenry County, Illinois. And it gave pros and cons. The plan involves a detailed analysis of housing, homelessness, and community development needs, which help identify priorities and allocating resources effectively. That's pretty much pulled from the website. The plan sets multi-year goals and strategies, providing a structured approach to tackling You have to give me a second. I knew these links were going to be an issue, so I brought a light here. Affordability and community development. Focus on fair housing as part of the plan. There's a requirement. Analyzing and addressing impediments to fair housing choice. While the plan aims to be community driven, there can still be a mismatch between federal guidelines and the plan must adhere to and the specific nuanced needs of the local population. Ensuring equitable distribution of resources across different areas and demographics within the county can be challenging. There might be concerns over whether all areas or groups are adequately served, especially in fast-growing economic diverse regions. Despite efforts to engage the public, participation might not represent all community. The plan requires a long-term commitment, not only from local government, but also from the community organizations and residents. And then I went into the what are the pros and cons of the of HUD housing and urban development. HUD provides housing choice vouchers that help low-income families, the elderly and disabled afford decent, safe housing. These grants fund local community development activities like affordable housing. HUD plays a role in disaster recovery by providing funding and support for rebuilding efforts in affected communities. Some cons that it listed. Bureaucracy, the large size and bureaucratic nature of HUD can lead to inefficiencies, delays in programs, implementation, and sometimes ineffective use of resources. HUD often faces budget constraints, which can limit the scope and effectiveness of its programs. Funding cuts, reallocations, and can directly impact the availability of housing assistance. Some public housing developments have been criticized for poor maintenance and living conditions. Critics argue that long-term reliance on HUD programs might discourage self-sufficiency among recipients. Like many governmental agencies, HUD's policies and priorities can be influenced by political agendas, which might not always align with the most pressing housing needs. And then I looked up. This is what brought HUD into the federal spotlight with the U.S. Housing and Community Development Act of 1974. The pros and cons are pretty much the same as the HUD list. What are the pros and cons of Community Development Block Grant, which is the acronym that we saw? The Community Development Block Grant program is a significant part of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development's efforts to provide communities with resources to address a wide range of unique community development needs. Here are some pros and cons. Flexibility in use of funds. Support for low and moderate income communities. Economic development. The program often involves local planning and prioritization, empowering communities to make decisions that reflect local goals and needs. The application process for the funds can be complex and time-consuming, involving extensive documentation and compliance with numerous agencies. Communities might become over-reliant on CBGD or CDBG funds for development, which could be problematic in federal funding if federal funding decreases or priority shift, leading to instability in local development plans. While CDBG can address immediate needs, the sustainability or services, the services funded through these grants can be questionable if there isn't a plan for ongoing support or funding after the grant period ends. So that was kind of like pros and cons. I'd rather just come to you with a resource, and you can replicate all these searches for yourself and see it detailed. That's what I wanted to bring you, was something that you could replicate yourself instead of me just talking. And then I was like, okay, so the countywide, they're asking for this survey. And then we have 1,000+ apartments coming in to the Cary that are on the Cary books, to like over by Route 31 with New Haven Road going through. To Route 31, and then also across the street from the Municipal Center, and then Maplewood, the Maplewood Project. And I wanted to, I'll show you what I researched. I went through that was just a CDBG programs. It says housing rehabilitation, public infrastructure, disaster response, and economic development. And then this was a resource from the HUD website for Illinois. And it gives you different resources. So if you are somebody that you know needs this resource, it's available here. And then also what I did, I was like interested, okay, affordable places to live. So I went to affordable places to live And I have that right here. It gave me this document. And I just looked up Carrie. $880 Feinberg, senior only. And $880 Feinberg for one bath, one bed apartment. $731 through $327 a month. Two bedroom, one bath, $991 through $395. And it's a median income based rent. I'm not sure if they consider Social Security on that. Garden Place Apartments, $1,022 for one bedroom, one bath. And then two bedroom, two bath, $1,200. Three bedroom, two bath is $1,400. And when I was looking at this document, they have these logos here, which were on the Carey Senior Living one and the Garden Place Apartments. This one, wheelchair, senior housing, washer dryer, income restricted for both of these. And then non-smoking for Carey Senior Living, and then looks like smoking is allowed at the Garden Place. And then this logo right here ties in with that survey. It's section 8, and that's the Carey Senior Living and the Garden Place Apartments both have that logo. And then what it meant was if you hovered over the logo, if you hovered over the logo, it doesn't say it here in the key, but if you hovered over it, it gave you something called the HCVP voucher. And I was like, I've never heard of that. So that's why I said, what are Section 8 and HCVP vouchers? The under HCVP, housing choice and voucher program, a family is issued a voucher after they apply and are selected from a you see that the voucher allows them to choose any housing that meets the program's requirements for rent level, size, and condition. How it works, each local public housing authority sets a payment standard for each bedroom size, which is based on the HUD's, I think the pay scale, tenant rent contribution. Tenants usually pay a percentage of their income towards rent and utilities, with the voucher covering the rest up to the payment standard of the actual rent, whichever is less. If the rent exceeds the payment standard, the tenant might have to pay the difference. A key feature of HCVP, if a family moves to another area where there's a PHA, I don't know what that is, they can transfer their voucher to be used there. So it's all about just going through and learning, like what's coming into our communities, what's already here, what are the resources available for families that need it. And then wanted to just focus on the Maplewood project that's coming in. They the local, well, the board approved a design. Well, they didn't approve a design per se, but they approved a contractor to continue working with. And what we have, what we know, is that it's Team A. It was a consensus of the committee of the whole to pursue a pre-development agreement with Development Team A. So I was like, what's Team A? So these were the presentations that were given on that day. I'm assuming presentation one is Team A. So I pulled up the presentation. And this is what we could see in Cary. The access road. The railroad tracks are here. And the access road will go here to Cary Algonquin. And then they're the railroad tracks are here, and the access road goes to Cary Algonquin here. And these are townhomes. They'll have buffers between the single family. I think they might do owner-occupied or rent or a combination. So they have townhomes that they want to put in for a buffer, and then they'll have high-capacity hotel-style living areas here. So I pulled up. I was like, what's coming in a Cary? And these are the townhouses looking northwest. Townhouses with the playground area. Townhouses and apartment blocks. Water detention is going to be right now, like, this is pretty much all their off-site detention right here for all this. Whenever you put concrete down, even if it's like leaking concrete, they have like a special concrete that lets water go through more efficiently to go into the ground. You're going to have runoff. So if they have storm drains here and here and here, you need off-site detention. You can't push it over here. There's homes. You can't push it over here. You don't want to push it over here. So this little pond here is going to be all their off-site detention. Water detention is going to be an issue here. I've heard them express that. You see this lattice work in the parking spaces, that's all to let water through. The more water that goes in the ground, the less water runs off. And this water makes all of its way to that little pond over there. This is where we get into past experience. So this developer, this is who I looked at, was this JTE firm. I wasn't as interested in the architect. I was more focused on the firm because they are the ones that are supposedly managing and responsible for building it. So I this is a past experience of them. The Werner. The U Apartments. 1212 Larkin. And this developer has a mixed bag. They do retail They had some gambling. They had one gambling facility that they, it was like a restaurant. With the J&J gambling place, which pretty much is takes care of all the state gambling that infiltrates communities. East Chicago Harbor Square and Fox Valley Apartments. So my workflow in researching was I went to the website for JTE Real Estate Services and saw their real estate portfolio, saw some other listed other properties. Some of the same ones popped up that they, this is the one gambling one that I was talking about. The J&J is a Dixie's Bistro. It looks nice inside. And then on their website, they had a link to affordable and workforce housing. JET Real Estate Services has a thorough understanding of the complex changing dynamics of affordable housing financing, along with the regulatory and market environments that help to create successful partnerships with public agencies, not-for-profits, and other developers in order to develop successful projects. Low-income housing tax credits conforming to the QAP, application process for state and federal credits, financing construction, complex partnerships and entity structures, state and federal income financing subsidies. And then on their website, they had a link to this, Housing for All, which is something that they run from telling by the contact info here. Housing for All mission. H4A's mission is to create dynamic workforce housing developments that provide positive impacts to communities while utilizing designs that incorporate green building practices, sustainable materials, and architecturally significant multifamily living environments. H4A is focused on creating and preserving high-quality workforce rental communities. As real estate professionals, the H4A team has a broad range of experience from identifying distinct opportunities to acquiring land and buildings to putting together a complex capital structure to the successful design and construction of the development, all the way to leasing and managing. And we're going to look at that. We're going to look at the leasing and managing that this company takes care of. In one form or another, H4A team members have been involved in the successful development of properties across the Midwest. Focused on workforce housing, these opportunities give working class wage earners the ability to live in amenity-rich apartment communities close to their jobs and in first-rate school districts. And I agree with that if they're looking at Cary, got great schools here, and ease the rent burden on workers who are either overloaded with paying a high percentage of their income on rent or are typically priced out of market-driven, high-priced communities. And then H4A portfolio, there was no picture here, but Fox Valley Apartments, it's kind of blurred out. That was a example that they gave in our presentation for our community. The Werner. That was an example they gave in the presentation for our community. Rogers Park. And then the Bloomhaven was also can't find it here, but oh, probably on the so that was the H4A, which is taken care of. It's H4A is owned by the firm that's building our apartments. And then also, I went to and this is probably my biggest call of I'm all for getting folks what they need. As long as, like, what the pros and cons said, as long as don't become reliant, and then we also don't do a disservice to the folks needing it by losing incentive to try to strive for more. My biggest call is who's going to be maintaining this property after they build and leave. And they say in their website that they do property management, but it's never under the banner of their firm. I went to 1212 Larkin, which was an example they gave us. This was an example they gave us in our community package. So that's what I did for all these, the examples of what of their prior work of what they deem necessary to put in their presentation to, like, hey, this is what you might see. So I went to 1212 Larkin's website, and it was managed by a company called Full Circle Communities. And then I went to Harbor Square, which was another another example, and then the Fox Valley Villages. There was one that was actually close. There was one in McHenry. This is Aurora. This one's in East Chicago. This company did do one in McHenry. And it's all under different banners of management companies. So that was my biggest question, was who's going to be managing this after all the building's done? Because it really comes down to, you know, you want to have a psyched management company that is running something for your community, to where it inspires the people that live there. It doesn't just become mundane. And you know, we want the best for all residents of Cary, to where they feel welcome and able to strive for more, and not just, you know, here's $2,500 a month, here's $3,000 a month, and then, you know, that's when you start to become feeling like a number. And I want to make sure that everybody that moves into Cary is welcomed and feels good. So that's what I ultimately ended up ending on, was seeing that all these different developments ended up being managed by different properties that were in their portfolio. They were being managed by different companies. And the one in McHenry, I think that was Full Circle Community. Yeah, the Full Circle Community takes care of the McHenry one. So that tells me that if they have something like that local, they have the resources local. And if this company leverages Full Circle Communities, whether if it's owned by them or if it's another company altogether. This Pearl Street Commons in McHenry might be the management company. So going forward in the progress, let's make sure and just ask the questions. Ask the questions of who's going to be the property management for these properties that are coming in the carry. Make sure that they provide inspiring places to where no matter how much money you make, you're left living in an environment that is invigorating and it goes along with what we have to be proud here about Cary is what I want to maintain for everybody. So that was my conclusion for you with my, it all started with that one post. I'll put that link into the description so you can fill out that survey yourself. So yeah, that's where we'll be seeing those ball fields will become this. I tried to keep it as neutral as possible to where you can make your own decision of how you feel. Always welcome to email me at voicescarry@proton.me. Voicescarry@proton.me. You can comment. Let me see if there was a... Yeah, you can always, and I always say this, like, always go to the source. So go to the village's website and look up who you can contact. Go to the public meetings. Always be respectful in asking questions. And, you know, I just do your research of what Cary might look like after 1,000 apartments come in. So if we have to make sure that... we're welcoming to everybody, but we also make it to where it doesn't become like once the love affair is over with and it just becomes another line item, we got to make sure that we stay inspiring to our residents and, you know, make everybody... feel welcome. So that was my information layout for you. You can make your determinations from that. And I wanted to stay down the fence as possible with everything. So you can just the facts. And thank you for joining me today on Voices Cary Live. And I broadcast every weekday. I do have a family, so I do my best to try to do it quick so I can enjoy time with family. But if you do have a request for what you'd like for me to take a look at, please reach out to me. And I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow on Thursday's Voices Cary Live. Thank you again. Have a wonderful evening.
You're confirmed at T-minus 10 seconds.
In counting, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Reach for the...
Huh?
This town ain't big enough for the two of us.
What?
Somebody's poisoned the water hole.
It's busted.
Who are you calling busted, Buster? That's right. I'm talking to you, Sid Phillips. We don't like being blown up, Sid. Or smashed, or ripped apart.
We?
That's right. Your toys.
Ah! play nice.